this morning. I'll remember to take that to the back with me. But turn in your Bibles this morning. Find two places. First of all, find Psalms chapter number 5. And put your piece of paper in there, or a bookmark, or your ribbon, or we're going to look at that a little bit later. And that's easy to find. Psalms chapter number 5. And then find the book of Zechariah, chapter number 9. And Zechariah, if you go to Matthew and just turn back a few pages, you'll find the book of Zechariah. It's the next to the last book in the Old Testament. The book of Zechariah, chapter number 9. And I asked the prayer room this morning, I said, I got a special prayer request. Y'all pray this morning that the word of the Lord would have free course and be glorified. That's what Paul said, brethren, pray for us. And I pray to have good liberty this morning. The Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. And I certainly desire that. What I want to try to preach to you this morning is a little bit unusual, a little bit different. And so I pray that you would help me, that the Lord would give liberty and freedom, and I'd say everything He'd have me to say and nothing He wouldn't have me to say. Zechariah chapter number 9. Zechariah chapter number 9. And you pay real close attention this morning. Zechariah chapter number 9, and I'm going to begin reading in verse number 8. I was giving you just a moment for everybody to find it. I want you to find it. I'm going to preach out of this passage of Scripture. And I want to try to preach on the subject this morning of the rebel yell. Never preached on that before, and I'd say you probably never heard it preached on before, but I'm going to try to preach on that this morning, so you pray that God would help us. Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 8, the Bible said, "And I will encamp about mine house because of the army, because of him that passeth by, and because of him that returneth, and no oppressor shall pass through them any more. For now have I seen with mine eyes. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion, shout, O daughter of Jerusalem, behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly, and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. And I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim, and the horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace unto the heathen. And his dominion shall be from sea even to sea, and from the river even to the ends of the earth." Let's pray this morning. Father, we just come today, and Lord, I've just been looking so forward to coming to thy house this morning. And Lord, I've just been so full this week with, Lord, what you've given me and what I've been studying about. And God, I just pray for liberty this morning. Lord, I pray, God, that the Holy Spirit would give unction. God, that I'd be able to deliver the message the way you gave it to me. And Lord, in the spirit that you gave it to me, Lord, I've just been able to feast and rejoice and over this. But sometimes, Lord, it's hard to get across. And Lord, you can't get it across unless the Holy Spirit comes and makes it real. And I pray for that this morning. Lord, I pray you'd do a work in our midst. Lord, I pray, God, that you'd help us. Lord, I pray that, God, nothing would hinder. I pray you'd hinder the devil from hindering us. Lord, we've got revival coming up. Please prepare our hearts. Please speak to us this morning. Please help us. God, as only you can, we pray for this church. We pray for our sister churches, Lord, the preachers throughout the county. God, that's trying to uphold the bloodstained banner of the Lord Jesus Christ and stand in the gap in these latter days. Lord, help us, God, to be usable. Lord, I pray for your help this morning. All the many objects that we have, Lord, there's lots here that's not here today. God, I wish they could be here. Lord, you know, though. You know what we need and what we stand in need of. Lord, help us. We ask it now in Jesus' lovely name, and amen. I'd like to try to show you something today that the Holy Spirit showed me several years ago. I was studying and reading in something, and the Lord showed me something. I never have preached on it. It's always been in the back of my mind, but I want to try to show you today that there is a parallel between the scriptural teaching about shouting, and I'm going to show you some things this morning that the Word of God says about shouting, and the historical phenomenon that's known as the rebel yell. You may know something about it, you may not, but if you read in your history books, you'll see that ever since the times of the Civil War, people have been fascinated with the rebel yell. Books have been written about it. It's talked about and featured in several movies that have been made. Songs have been written about it, poems, folklore, stories been passed down. Even in the Civil War, during the Civil War, some of the regiments, some of even the camps were named after how well they could yell. In fact, there was a camp in Arkansas, I believe it was, that was just named Camp Yell. And it's because they were known to be able to yell good. Now, I want to show you some things about this morning. Now, I will say that you will never understand America and the unique differences between the North and the South. And if you don't know there's differences between the North and the South, you've just not been up North. Because I'll tell you, you go someplace, you go up there and you spend a little time. Or when I went in the military and I got around some people that's raised in Detroit and places like that, I begin to see there's a big difference between the way they lived and between the way I was raised up. And there's a lot of difference between the North and the South. And you'll never understand that until you understand some things about the Civil War and what it was really all about and what, most of all, God was doing and what God did in our nation during that time. I want to begin this morning by just giving you some Civil War facts that you'll never learn in public school. Some Civil War facts you'll never learn in public school. First of all, there was a righteous foundation. The people in the South believed that there was a righteous and a holy cause that they were fighting for. Now, if you're like me, you know I grew up in public school and I went and I just believed what they taught me and never really thought very much about it, but I was just always under the assumption until I began to study it out for myself that it was all about slavery. It's what you're taught in school. That's a politically correct version. That's what's taught to our young people today, that the Civil War was fought about slavery. But I want to tell you something today. In fact, it was not about slavery at all to begin with. But for those in the South, it was a fight to preserve states' rights. The North invaded the South with arms. It was about liberty. It was about defense of home and hearth. And so for the people in the South, it'd be like if Canada invaded us and came with arms to take over our country, we'd say, "You're not going to do that, and God is going to help me to keep you from doing that." And that's how the people in the South thought about it at first. It was not about slavery. It was about states' rights. It was about liberty and freedom and defense of home. Jefferson Davis wrote his first communication to the Confederate States April 29, 1861, and in part, in his message, he said, "We feel that our cause is just and holy. We desire peace at any sacrifice save that of honor and independence. All we ask is to be left alone." Amen. I like that. I've heard that a lot in the past few years, talking about the government meddling in our business. And I've heard a lot of people say, "Why don't they just leave us alone?" And you know what? I say amen right there. If you won't say amen, I'll say it twice. All we want is to be left alone. Then he said that those who never held power over us shall not now attempt our subjugation by arms. He went on down. He said, "We will continue to struggle for our inherent right to freedom, independence, and self-government." And so they believed they had a holy and a just cause in fighting against the North. And second of all, there was a religious fervor. You never hear about this in the history books. I was not taught it in school. But what happened at the beginning of the Civil War was many, many pastors joined in the cause of the Civil War. All the different churches come together. The Baptist churches, the Methodist churches, the Presbyterian, even the Episcopal churches. General Stonewall Jackson, when he was talking about chaplains in the army, he said, we don't want denominational lines being taught. All we're interested in, does a man preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? And there was churches, and there was some preachers took their whole the men out of their congregation and formed a troop there and marched off to war. And I was reading about that. I found that there were some colleges, that literally Christian colleges, that closed their doors and led their theological seminary students, staff, faculty, and student body off to fight. In the Civil War, there was a religious fervor that swept across the land. One of the first companies to arrive in Virginia in 1861 had 50 members from one single church. Another regiment arrived a little later on that year. They had 600 men of the same denomination. Another had 13 Baptist preachers among its soldiers. The 9th Arkansas, organized July 20th, 1861... was known as the Parsons Regiment because they had 42 ordained ministers in their ranks. And then there was one company from North Carolina that had 2 Episcopal rectors, 2 Baptist preachers, 1 Presbyterian, and 1 Methodist pastor in a single company, and on, all throughout the South, the churches sent their preachers and sent their men to fight in the war. At one time, it began to be circulated about that the people at home were afraid that nobody would be left to minister to them. They'd write letters to the newspapers and say, now we're all for our men and our preachers supporting, but it could be carried a little too far. Might not be a preacher left to preach in the South if they don't calm down a little bit. There was a religious fervor swept across our nation at that time. And thirdly this morning, and this is all by way of introduction, there was revival fires swept across the South and in the Confederate Army from 1861 to 1864, especially in the winter of 1863 and 1864. During the Civil War, there were over 150,000 conversions to the Lord Jesus Christ in the Confederate armies. Now, at the very beginning of the Civil War, there was some, we don't know about this. They said it like this. They said, how can a man join the army and keep his religion? I mean, they thought about the army as being full of wicked men and ungodly and gambling and drinking and cursing and no church and things like that. And of course, there was a lot of that. There always is. I'm not saying they were all saved by the grace of God. But they said, how can a Christian man join the army and keep his religion? But about halfway through, the sentiment changed around. And they said from the army, they said, how can a man keep his religion and not be in the army? There was such a revival. There was such a move of God moved through the southern ranks that it was evident to all around that God was moving and saving souls. And I could talk a whole long time about that. One correspondent to the Louisville Courier, he wrote a letter to the newspaper there commenting on the mustering, that's the gathering together of an army, the mustering of a certain regiment, and he said it reminded him more of a Baptist associational meeting than anything he had seen in a long time. He said 3,000 men stood and sang the old-time hymns. He said then the preacher got up and preached a message on courage, and then they marched off to war. And so with that in mind, you keep that in mind this morning. I was reading, and I was studying one time, reading a book about the Civil War and a certain battle that the Confederates and the Union Army had gotten into, and it said in that book that the troops began to give the rebel yell. And when the troops began to give the rebel yell, that the tide began to turn and the Confederates began to win the battle. And it talked in there in that book about the rebel yell just a little bit. And it said that the rebel yell was hard to describe. It said that it was sort of a mixture between an Indian war whoop, a squall, and the cry of a wolf. And I'd been studying and reading about this, and I'd been reading about the great revivals that swept through the Confederate army. And then I was reading about them going off into battle. And as they went off into battle, they began to yell, and it struck fear into the enemy. And the Spirit of God spoke to my heart and said, you know what? The world don't know what the rebel yell is, and the world can't understand what the rebel yell is, and the world can't explain or describe what the rebel yell is. But the Spirit of God spoke to my heart and said those men were shouting. God had been working in their midst. You think about that. You think if you was going off to war, Brother Jason, and God had saved and moved in your heart, and you knew you may never go home, and you thought you was fighting on the side of God and your cause was just and holy, I believe I'd do some shouting as I went off into battle too. I don't know if all of them are shouting, but I guarantee you this morning, you'll never read that in your history book, but I'll tell you, some of that rebel yell had to be an old-time Holy Ghost move of God shout, move through their ranks, and that's why it struck fear into the hearts of those that heard it. Shouting in the Bible is, from the first to the last, associated with warfare and armies and battles. The very first time the word shouting is mentioned in the Bible is in Exodus chapter number 32, and Moses and Joshua were coming off the mountain. Now the people had fallen into sin, and I'm not going to get all into that, but Moses and Joshua, a long way off, heard a noise down among the children of Israel. And the Bible says that Joshua heard shouting, and he said, "There's the noise of war in the camp." First time the word shouting is mentioned in the Bible is mentioned in direct relation to a shouting, a type of a warfare, a going into battle, that type of shout that you would hear. Now, you know me this morning. I know we got some visitors and all like that, but you know me. I'm not trying to preach a message this morning to get you to shout, but I'll tell you what, I'm trying to preach a message this morning to show you that it's all right to shout when God's in it. And it's fully sanctioned by the Word of God, and we used to, and I don't know what's happened to us down through the years. But anyway, I'm going to try to preach this morning. First of all, in the book of Zechariah, first of all, there's the rebel yell in the camp. Look at verse number 8. The Bible said, "And I will encamp about mine house because of the army, because of him that passeth by, and because of him that returneth, and no oppressor shall pass through them any more. For now have I seen with mine eyes. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion." Shout. There's the shout right there. But what I want you to see is they were encamped about by an army, and they were encamped within their own walls there. The word encamp means this. It means to pitch a tent, to make a camp. And when the Confederate soldiers or any army were in camp, now there's I-N-C-A-M-P, being in the camp. And then there's this little word here in verse number 8, to encamp. It means same thing, to be in camp, to pitch a tent, to make camp is what it's talking about. And so here we find this, and when I think about an army being in camp, it reminds us that there's a pause in the battle. The battle is not right at that moment raging on, but there is a pause. There is a lull in the battle or in between the battle and the battles, and the army has an opportunity to line up their tents, to pitch the tent, to make a camp, to have some leisure time, to have a little time of rest and recuperation and preparation for the next battle that is going to come. And that's how we find Israel here. They are hemmed in, and the army is literally on the outside. It said, "And I will encamp about mine house because of the army, because of him that passeth by," the children of Israel. Here in Zechariah chapter number 9, it's talking about a time of Zechariah going down there and preaching and getting them to build the temple back. But as they went about that business, they could literally hear the enemy's horses walking by on the outside. There is a wicked, ungodly people that'd love to come in at any time and just destroy them and kill all them and wipe them off the face of the earth. And so we find there's an army on the outside. There's a threat on the outside, but they are encamped inside. And God says in verse number 9, He said, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion, shout." Now you got to read this in context. There's an army right outside the walls. And God in His Word says, here's what I want you to do while you're waiting. You just rejoice greatly and shout. Oh, daughter of Zion, I was studying about that, and that word rejoice there, it means this, it means to spin around. The word greatly means the vehemently, it means to be intense, fervent, forceful. The word shout there means to split the ears with sound. Rejoice. I was studying about that. It means to spin around. I don't quite understand that, but I was sitting there this morning and I was still thinking about that. Boy, the Spirit of God began to move in the choir and began to move in my heart. And the next thing I know, I'm sitting there and I find out I just can't hardly sit still. I'm just about ready to spin around, and all of a sudden my tie, I think I need to fix my tie because it just feels like it's all out of place. And I just get to where I'm just about to spin around and I'm about to jump up and shout and split the ears. That's what God said for the children of Israel to do. Shout, rejoice greatly. Shout. Hey God, don't you know the enemy is right outside the wall and you expect us to be in here shouting? You know what? A lot of times we won't shout because of our problems. That's exactly when we need to shout. It's when we've got problems all around us. You might say this morning, but old preacher, you just don't know what's out there. You don't know what I'm up against, preacher. You don't know the troubles that I've got in my life. You don't know the trials that I've got in my life. You don't know the problems in my life. You don't know the sin that has weighted me down. You don't know the defeat that I feel in my spirit. You don't know, preacher, what I'm addicted to. You don't know how much I've failed God. And there you stand up there and tell me I ought to shout this morning. You're right. I don't know what you're going through. I don't have any idea what most people... We'd be surprised this morning if we really knew what people were going through. The problems that they have in their life and the trials and the faults that they have and all of those things. I don't know what you're going through this morning, but I'll tell you, let me show you something this morning. I do know who's between you and the problems that are out there. Look what it said in verse 8. God said, "I will encamp about mine house because of the army." And so you read what God's saying right there, and He's saying, all right, here's how it is. The army's on the outside, and you're on the inside, and I told you to rejoice greatly and to shout. God said, I'll let you know where I'm at. I'll be encamped round about my house. Why, let me tell you something this morning. Right outside your house, right outside your heart this morning, you say, oh, preacher, this world's about to kill me. You don't know what I'm up against. But I'll tell you something this morning. If you're a child of God, there's one in heaven. The great I Am says, I'll just encamp about you. Thank God. It's scary out there. You know, I know that this morning. But I'll tell you what, between me, well, if they're going to get to me, they're going to have to go through God. God said, I'm around you. I'm going to camp around my house because of the army. Praise God, I like that. No, I don't know what you're going through, but I know who's there. Between us and them, there's the great I Am. I was reading about the Valley Campaign that General Stonewall Jackson fought and was in charge of, and they were in camp one evening. Wasn't in a battle. There was a lull in the battle, and all his five regiments were out there. Camped all round about him one evening, and one evening one of those regiments began to yell. begin to shout, and General Stonewall Jackson was a great Christian man. He's the one that said, just give us chaplains that'll preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And his army, his men under him, they saw some of the greatest revivals during the war. They were in camp during the Valley Campaign, and one evening one of his five regiments began the yell, began the shout. And it wasn't long, the next regiment over, they began to shout and they began to yell. And General Jackson came outside his tent, throwed the flap back, went out there and leaned up against the fence. And it went from one regiment to another until all five of them lasted a long time. And General Jackson went out there and leaned up against the fence. When it all got done and quietened down, he turned around and he said to his aides, that's what they were called, that helped him there. He said, that's the sweetest music I've ever heard. Let me tell you something this morning, as we're sitting here in camp together and we're in God's house, and I know there's a battle out there to be fought, and I know there's troubles and I know there's trials, but don't you think that heaven sets up and pays attention when we get old flesh out of the way enough to just praise God every once in a while and begin to shout and begin to praise Him for what He's done for us? Sure He does. And they said he was tone deaf, but he said, that's the sweetest music I've ever heard. Hebrews 10:25 says, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but as exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And when I think about being in the camp, I think about being in church, I think about having a little reprieve from the battles out there. And boy, if we can't praise Him in the house of God, how are we going to praise Him anywhere else? We ought to come to praise Him. We ought to shout and praise His name every once in a while in the camp. First of all, there's the rebel yell in the camp. Second of all, there's the rebel yell in the conflict. Now, there's three times when the Confederates would use the rebel yell. They would use the rebel yell before they went into battle, and they would use it during the battle, and then they would yell after the battle. You know what, this morning there's not a person here that's not somewhere along that scale. You may not realize it this morning, but before the next week is out, you may be getting ready this morning to go into one of the worst battles that you've ever had or experienced in your life. None of us know. May not be next week, might be the week after that, but if you're a child of God, you're going to go into a battle sooner or later. You are either before a battle, or you are right smack dab in the middle of a battle. You understand what I'm saying this morning? Or, praise God, you might be getting out of a battle. But you're somewhere along those lines, and you may have several battles going on different fronts this morning, but we're all in that predicament this morning. Now, let me show you something. Keep your place there. Look at Psalms chapter number 5. I want to read several verses over there in Psalms chapter number 5 and verse number 8. Read it all when you get home, but for sake of time, we'll start in verse number 8. Let me show you something. David said, lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness because of mine enemies. Got any enemies out there? Got any battles you're going through? Make thy way straight before my face. Now let me say right there, you know what we do a lot of times? We say, make my way straight. Help me to know what to do. But you know what? David didn't say, make my way straight. He said, make thy way. Big difference right there. It's not, Lord, here's what I want to do. Help me to do it. It ought to be, God, you just show me what to do. Make thy way straight before my face. For there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is very wickedness. Their throat is an open sepulcher. They flatter with their tongue. He's talking about his enemies. Destroy thou them, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. Cast them out into the multitude, or in the multitude of their transgressions, for they have rebelled against thee. But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. Now, you ought to circle that word in verse number 11. Let all. Just let the preacher shout. I ain't get a blessing out of that. But the Bible said, let all. Let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy. That word ever there, it means always. Let them always shout for joy because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. That word joyful there, if you look it up, it means to jump for joy. To leap. You know, when I read that, it sort of sounds mandatory to me. That God's people would shout and praise Him every once in a while at least. I'm not talking about all the time. I realize we don't act that way or we don't do that all the time. But surely, every once in a while, surely in every saved person's life, there ought to be a time where you just get to can't help it. Shout and praise His name. The Bible says let them always shout for joy, the Bible says. Because thou defendest them. See, that's the setting of a battle there. That's the setting of a war. There's enemies all the way around. You know, I didn't grow up in a shouting church. I'll be honest this morning. Now, I appreciate the church I grew up in. Thank God for it. I got saved there. But I don't ever remember anybody shouting. But I remember there was a man there that when they called on him to pray, it was different than anybody else. And when he prayed, he'd stand over there and with a humble heart, he'd pray and begin to just talk to God in a quiet, soft voice. And you could tell that his voice would begin to quiver. And if you look over at him, tears would be coming down his face. I mean, the power of God was on his prayers. I remember asking my mom one time, I said, why does he pray like that? She couldn't explain it all to me. You know, some things is hard to explain. But I thought when I grew up and God called me to preach, I remember that man. And I thought, God, I'd like to pray like that sometime. There's something special about that. There's something I remember about that. And then we went to the church in England. It's a good church over there, good fundamental independent church. And it wasn't a shouting church, but we had a man come. He had been transferred there. I was in the Air Force, and him and his family came and joined the church, and he was a preacher. God had called him to preach. He's a big old fella. His name is Jim. And you know, we had good church and everything, and God was there. But when he came, he just brought a little something extra with him. And I remember when they come in and they sat down pretty near us, and the preacher be preaching along, he'd say, amen. They scared everybody in the church to death. They wasn't used to that. And it sort of caught on in the church. He'd be preaching away. The preacher wouldn't. Brother Jim would say, amen. He had a big, deep voice, you know. And praise God, after a while, I thought, when he'd say amen, I thought, I want to say amen, but I'm chicken too. And I thought, after a while, I thought, God, I'd like to say amen. And I remember I'd be sitting there preaching, and boy, the preacher would get to preaching, Brother Jimmy saying, amen! And I'd say, amen! Woo! Glory to God! Man, that felt good! What's happening, preacher? Man, God is just putting something down in there. And I remember we come back, and I'd surrender to preach, and I told God, I said, God, I'll go anywhere you want me to go. I'd surrender to preach. I said, God, I'll be a missionary. I'll go to a foreign field. I'd already been away from home for several years. I was used to being away from home, and God worked it out. God sent us right back here to these mountains. And I remember the first time I ever heard somebody shout. And we was up at Union, and they was having revival, and they had a preacher up there. And there's a whole bunch of churches come together, and there's a lady, she's visiting. She wasn't a member of that church, but they was up there singing. And Kim and I, she'll testify along with me this morning. Next thing I heard, woo-hoo! Man, that scared me to death. But it done something for me. And I looked at her, and she looked at me, and I thought, man, that was real. I mean, I ain't never heard anything about but my goodness. And it wasn't long I got to thinking about that, and my uncle Clint, it wasn't long after that, he was teaching a lesson or something. I can't remember exactly what it was, but the subject of shouting came up, and he said, if you don't believe shouting's real, he said, you just pray and ask God to show you. And he'll show you. And I got to think about that, and I thought, Lord, God, if that's real, there's something about that I want to shout. And it wasn't long after that, God, he put a shout in my soul, and I praise God for that. And oh, I'm thankful this morning. I'm thankful that my children knows what it is to hear old-time shout. They some churches, if you went in and shouted, they would have a heart attack. Do you know last Sunday night down at the fellowship meeting at Willowdale or Willow Valley, man, I got full. I mean, I just shouted before I knew what happened. And Chloe's sitting right over there right next to me, and after that a little bit, and she went, woo! That didn't scare her. These young people, they need to know some things about old-time power and shouting, and that it's real this morning. If you don't think it's real, you just pray and ask God to show you. But let me show you some things quickly. They shouted before the conflict because it gave them courage. That gives me courage, like the fellowship meeting and Jubilee meeting, revival meeting, things like that, where I can get around God's people and hear some of God's people shout. Look back over in Zechariah chapter number 9. Let me show you something about that. It gave them courage before the conflict. Before the conflict. Verse number 9, the Bible said, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. And those of you that are Bible readers, you know what that's talking about. That's talking about when Jesus rode into Jerusalem. Remember what happened? You remember what happened over there? And man, his disciples, the Bible said in Luke 19 that his disciples, they begin to praise him greatly with their voice. And they begin to shout, no doubt. And they were just causing all kinds of commotion. Some of that dried up crowd from the first used to be church, they said, why don't you tell them to quieten down? And you remember what Jesus said unto them? He said, if these be quiet, the stones will cry out. Now, where was Jesus headed on that donkey? Where was he going? He was going to the cross. And I'll tell you what happened before Jesus went to the cross. Before he went to the great conflict. Before he went into the battle, the darkest hour of his life, it was attended by shouting. You say, preacher, I ain't got nothing to shout about. Shout because you're not in the battle. Shout before you get in the battle. Before he went to Calvary, they shouted. They shouted so much that they said, I wish you'd get them to be quiet. And he said, I couldn't even get them to be quiet. If I did, the rocks, the stones would cry out. Man, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask the Lord about that. How would that have happened? I don't know. I guess they'd have just busted. And they'd have made so much noise, it'd have sounded like shouting, I don't know, this morning. Some of the Yankees were surprised when they were drafted or talked into joining the army. You know, Abraham Lincoln, he called for 75,000 troops to suppress those that had seceded from the Union. And they told, you know, they had a lot of immigrants from other countries, and there was one German immigrant. They talked him into joining the Union Army, and they told him, they said, don't worry about it. They said, you just shout boo at them rebels, and they'll run away in the woods. And he got captured later on, and he told that story. He said, the only thing was, when I shot my gun, they run the wrong way. Woo! Wouldn't that scare you right about dark? And you was in a battle, and somebody's coming squalling at you like a Banshee Indian or something like that. Before the conflict, it gave them courage. During the conflict, it gave them confidence. You know why? They knew they were not alone. When they heard their brothers in arms out there shouting and yelling in the dark during the night after the battle was over and all of those things. I read about one battle where Blacksburg or Bragg's army, I believe it was, they'd fought hard for 2 days. Man, they'd been in the conflict. They got spread out through the woods and all across the countryside, and it got too dark to fight. It was a little bit after dark there, and one of them troops said, I heard them start. Woo! And he said, and it went all around through the woods. He said, I thought I was all alone. Woo! He said it worked itself all the way around, got back where it started from, is letting each other know, hey, I'm still here. Praise God, we're not all gone. We're not all dead. And if the banks could just about get out, we're not all dead. This world thinks we're all dead. And there's no power in the gospel, and there's no power in the church. But I'm telling you, man, it encourages me in the conflict to hear my brother and shout and to praise his holy name. I know, praise God, we're not all dead. Sometimes you go and preach and labor and plow and wonder, man, I've went and preached sometimes and not much, but every once in a while, you know, even here, I'll have a rough time. I'll think, my goodness. Won't somebody help me? Sort of like the church that had somebody fall out in the service and they thought they was dead, and they called the ambulance, and the ambulance came and hauled out 5 people before they found the right one. I mean, that's how we are sometimes. I don't know what's wrong with us. Man, we ought to be alive. I read about one battle at Vicksburg. Vicksburg was just about to fall. The Union Army had fought for days, and they were overcoming, and it was imminent that the city was going to fall. And right before the city fell, in the last hours of the battle, a little old lady made her way to the front line with a broom. And the chaplain came out and talked to her, and he said, "Woman, ma'am, what are you doing out here with the broom? You can't do any good. You can't harm them with a broom." She said, "No, but I can show them what side I'm on." You say, "Preacher, I can't shout." You can show us what side you're on every once in a while. Open your eyes up, raise your hand, nod your head, smile great big. Like one preacher said he liked to watch a certain person when he preached because they looked like they'd slept with a coat hanger in their mouth. They just had the biggest smile. Just show what side you're on every once in a while. Encourage those that are in the battle this morning. The Bible said in Psalms 107 verse 2, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy." Has God ever done anything for you? Brought you through the conflict this morning? Oh, if you studied about it in the Bible, you'd find they shouting all in the Bible. When David killed Goliath, the Bible said that the men of Israel there, they rose up, they shouted, and they pursued in the conflict. The battle was on, and it encouraged one another when they begin to shout and pursue after the enemy there. And many examples that we could give this morning, but they shouted after the conflict. And it showed they'd conquered. Showed they'd conquered. 2 Chronicles chapter 13. I won't get you to turn over there, but it's a battle in the Bible. One of the greatest battles in the Bible. I mean, the men of Judah were surrounded. There was no way they could defeat Jeroboam. They surrounded it front and behind. And in the way they used to battle in their armies, that was certain death. And that's why they'd guard their flanks. Don't let the enemy get around behind us. But Judah was surrounded all the way around. And Judah was just about to wipe them all out. And the Bible said in verse 15, it said, "The men of Judah." You know what the word Judah means? It means praise. We need some men of praise in our churches. It said, "The men of Judah gave a shout. And as the men of Judah shouted, it came to pass that God smote Jeroboam." You know, I've heard preachers say, sometimes you get in trouble, you just need to shout your way out. Are you in trouble this morning and you just can't get out of it, and you just don't know what the answer is? Have you tried just shouting your way out? I'll be honest with you, this morning, this thing with our business, over the past year or so, It's been about to kill me. It's been about to kill me. It's been rough. And these days I sit down there and I look at what's going on and I'd say, God, God, we're still here. And I need your help. I need your help bad. And nothing we tried, nothing we did. Down, down, down she went. And I finally got the place. I just told God, the Bible said in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And God did a work in my heart, and I told Kim, I said, I'm just going to thank Him. And I'm tired, God, I'm tired. I said, I'm just going to start thanking Him. I'm going to thank my way out of this. I'm going to praise Him. I'm going to shout. If God puts a shout in my heart, I'm just going to thank Him. This is in His hands. He's the one. He said He'd slay the giant, and on and on. And boy, I'll tell you what, just after God done that work in my heart, and I begin to thank Him, and I begin to praise Him, and I begin to shout about what God was going to do. You talk about a 1,000-pound monkey getting off your back. What changed? Nothing physically, nothing outside. We closed the store. I thank God for that. But after, man, I'll tell you, you talk about refreshing my spirit. I didn't know how bad that had got me down. I just felt like, praise God, the sun's shining again. And I had a little time. You know, I hadn't had no time. I'm sorry, church. I told Kim, I said, I didn't know. I said, I've cheated the church. God, I should have been able to do different. And I couldn't go. I mean, I was handcuffed, tied up. But I've been able to visit. And I've been able to study like I ought to. And I told God, I said, God, I got some time. And I don't want to be lazy, God. Anything you want me to do, I want to do it. And Preacher Carl called me a while back. He said, hey, I want you to come over and preach a revival at Zionville. I said, woo, praise God. Man, I had a good time over there. And I was sitting there one night, I was standing, they had a flyer up, said to Jubilee down at Dyson Grove, and it's going to be what was last week, and they had morning services, and I was standing back there, I was reading that flyer, and I looked at that, and the Holy Spirit said, you need to go down there. I said, praise God, I'll go. And I made it a point. I went every morning. Say, preacher, why'd you go? Boy, I wish I was a preacher and all I had to do is hang around, go to church, and, you know, I'd be shouting too. But I've been where you're at this morning. But I went down there and I told, I wasn't looking for God to give me nothing to do or anything. I just knew I needed to go. And I went down there and, boy, I seen people I hadn't seen in a long time like that, and I had a good time. And I've been praying that prayer, you know, hey, God, speak to me. And I wasn't really looking for anything in particular, but I was standing out there, I believe it was on Thursday morning, I can't remember. But anyway, Brother Leonard came up to me, and I was talking to him. And he said, hey, you know what? He said, you ought to go on WZAP again. He said, you used to be on the radio down there, you ought to go on it again. And said, they're needing preachers. Some of them preachers have been on 25, 30 years. One of them, his church is having trouble. And another of them, he's out of health. Dr. Bird's going off. You know, he's been on that radio station for, I think, 35 years, something like that. And some of these old preachers, they're going to have to. They can't do it no more. He said, you ought to go down there. And we're just having regular conversation. But while we're having regular conversation, the Spirit of God is going, boy, them Holy Ghost gears begin to turn in my mind. I thought about how I used to have the old PAS broadcast. And we got done talking. I said, you ever tried to eat a biscuit like I am right now? It's hard to do. And I was getting ready to get my food. We was eating lunch. And in the time I got to him and I was going down the line, I said, God, I don't know. I wasn't looking for that. But I said, God, if you want me to do that, I'll do it. I'll do it. You just show me. You just show me. And I got down to the end of the line, and I turned around, and there's a preacher there. I hadn't seen him in probably 11 or 12 years. And I said, hey, Brother Mike, how are you? He said, good. He said, it's good to see you. He said, I thought about you this morning. He said, I turned on the radio, and when I heard that voice, he said, I thought, that's Brother Wynn Greer. He said, but then I remembered, you're not on the radio no more. And I said, no. I mean, I'm talking about 5 minutes. I don't even know how I got home. And I saw, man, would God want me to do anything? But I said, God, I'm not going to say nothing to nobody about this. I said, I am really emotional. It's just been a good week. And I said, God, if that's what you want me to do, you just show me. And you just confirm it. And I went on home. I didn't say nothing to nobody. I went to bed. I got up. I went back the next day. I just said, God, if you want me to do that, you just show me. Went back the next day. First preacher preached. And I didn't think anything about it. Second preacher preached. He wasn't supposed to preach. But Preacher Leonard just told him, he said, you just be ready. And old Brother Chuck Stout, I used to be his teacher at Victory. I'd forgot all about it, but he told me after, he said, you was my teacher. He said, I got a whole lot out of that. And he got up there, and he opened up his Bible, and he's a trembling. He said, I don't know why God wants me to preach this. He said, but turn in your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter number 6. I knew what he's going to preach on. You know what that says? Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Where's a good way and walk therein? And up behind, I hadn't noticed it all week, but there's a big old banner up there that said, ask for the old paths. And I'd never seen it. I'd sat there all week long, and when he said, turn in your Bibles, I looked up at him like, God, I can't believe this. And then I seen that banner for the first time. I said, God, if that's what are you going to do when God tells you to do something? You say, preacher, what'd you do? I went home, made some phone calls. That's what I did. And this morning, how many of you heard Preacher David on the radio? Man, I was listening to that, thinking about it, and Brother Eric got on there beforehand. He said, I was over at the funeral home last night, and I was talking to somebody, and they grew up at Mount Lebanon. And they was talking about how the power of God was there on the old-time preachers. And boy, how we need that again. And Preacher Eric said, and we just need to get back to the old paths. Say, preacher, I don't know about shouting your way out of a battle. We'll sit down and talk about it sometime. Has God ever brought you out of anything you ought to shout and praise His name for? David said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, and out of the miry clay, and He set my feet upon a rock, and He established my goings. Praise God. I like that this morning. They knew after the battle it showed they'd conquered when they shouted, and the enemy was running away. And last of all, this morning, the rebel yell in the conclusion, and I'm almost done, the rebel yell. They shouted in the conclusion of the battle. Gettysburg was the bloodiest. I forget now how many people died at Gettysburg. But there's a memorial up there. And for years and years after the Civil War, the veterans would come back every year. And they'd have a picnic on the grounds there. In the north and the south, the troops, they'd fellowship together and talk, and they got along. God did a work in reuniting our divided country. And one of the things they would do when they'd get together there, the men from the north and the men from the south, they'd get on the opposite sides of one of the walls that they'd got down behind and fought that great battle, and they'd shake hands over that wall. And there's a clip I found from 1938, some of the last surviving veterans of the Civil War. And you can just barely, you'd have to, I don't even know if I could find it again. I found it on the internet. Them old men, they was up there and they'd shake across and they'd shaking. And a few of them old rebels, they went, woohoo! Said, that's the rebel yell. The war was over. Peace had been made. And they could still shout and claim the victory, even though they lost the battle. You know what? Last time the word shouts used in the Bibles, 1 Thessalonians 4:16. It says, for the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven. He shall descend with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with Him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Praise God, the battle's going to be over one of these days. And if you don't like shouting down here, maybe God will give you a place in the back somewhere, but I still don't think. I don't think you're going to get far enough away. Because heaven's going to be a loud place. And they're going to be shouting at the conclusion. You know, I love to read about General Lee. He's one of the greatest men that our nation ever raised up. He was a Christian soldier. He loved his troops. He prayed for them. He had compassion on them. It broke his heart to know that he had to send them into battle where they'd die. They were in a battle one time and they were losing men. And General Lee kept sending them in there. And a young lieutenant came up to him and said, "General, must we go back in there?" And he said, "Yes, sir." He said, "I'm sorry, but you must do all you can to repel these men." And it was his own son that came and asked him. His own son. And he said, "Son, you got to get back in there." And boy, when they died, he cried. And it like to tore his heart out. But I'll tell you what, they loved him. They loved him. And any time he came anywhere around them, boy, they'd shout. They'd gather around. "Here'd come the general. Here'd come the general on his white horse." And he'd come among the men. And boy, they'd throw their hats up in the air. And he loved them. You know, one of these days in heaven, after a while, after we've been up there just shouting and praising God and they some necessary business gets taken care of, one of these days in heaven, our great general, the captain of our army, is going to say, "Bring me my horse." "Bring me my horse. We got some unfinished business to do." And boy, our Lord is going to mount a white horse. And he's going to ride up and down through heaven. I believe that. And I ain't in the Bible. I'm reading between the lines. But I believe we'll praise him because he loved us. And he prayed for us. And he sent us into battle. And some of us died. But it broke his heart. It doesn't mean he doesn't love you this morning when you're going through the battle. But then we're going to get there on the other side. And he's going to say, "Whoo, why don't you just get on your horse and come with me?" And the Bible says that he's going to come back on a white horse and the armies which were in heaven followed him on white horse. What, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And we're going to follow him back to this earth. Look what it says in Zechariah chapter number 9 and verse number 10. He goes on, he says, "And I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace unto the heathen, and his dominion shall be from sea even to sea, and from the river even to the ends of the earth." And he's going to set up his kingdom, and we'll rule and reign with him. Going to be any shouting in heaven? Oh, yes. Going to be shouting in the new heaven and the new earth and in the millennial reign? Yes, there will be. Praise God, I look forward to that. God's people are a shouting people. And we have let the world steal our shout. I'm done this morning. Are you saved? Who's your general? Who's leading you in this life? Have you trusted Christ as your Savior? Are you following Him? He loves you. Boy, He loves you this morning. Ought to praise Him every once in a while. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning.